This week, the fiends watched
Dune Part 2. That is a very pleasant sound, I will say.
It's fucking amazing, dude.
It gets you that, in the mood.
Whatever, I don't know if they took that lady and like threw her in a football field or something, you know, and like had the mic like 50 yards away from her, you know,
could
and
be.
Just like
very well
made
be.
Her scream as loud as she could. But that, I don't know, I wish I could sing just to sing
I
that,
know.
You know, little harmony right there.
It's very tribal. It gets you going. It gets you in the mood to kill, dude.
Yeah, dude. Tribal. Yeah. So we are doing Dune Part 2. We're a couple of Dunes over here. We did not do Part 1, Michael.
No, that's right.
We did not do Part 1, which I don't know why, because it was on HBO Max. So it should have been perfect for us. Maybe there was like a horror movie that we did or something. Maybe.
Probably.
I don't know.
We were anti-it when it came out. I remember
that.
We were
a little anti-it.
We were like,
yep.
I don't give a fuck about Dune.
And then one of us made a conversion. You know,
yeah, Mikey
in the past
hard.
3 weeks, I've become a Dune head in the past like month or so. Watched the 84 version, got into the lore, actually learned what the fuck was going on, because I literally had no idea what was going on in the movies.
Right.
You got to fucking do homework before you watch these goddamn movies. So
same here.
I did that, and then you rewatched the first one recently, right?
Yeah, I rewatched it, but what was interesting is that I rewatched it just as like, I'll put it on. I haven't seen it since it came out. I'll put it on the background. I'm like, and I felt lost. I watched it, but I'm like, I'm doing other stuff. I was probably Jay Owen or something. Who knows?
Definitely.
And then you're like, yo, I just did the rewatch too, but I watched this 15-minute breakdown first, and dude, it opened up my eyes to Dune World. I rewatched one. I loved it. I watched the original. You were, Mikey, you were praising it like it was, you know, Margot Robbie's dick or something. It was phenomenal.
Mikey, no one could describe it better. That's exactly, I was fucking a Dune head, bro, and I still am a Dune head, but that doesn't mean, I'm not saying I love this movie yet. We didn't do that yet, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah,
but I'm saying I did jump. It didn't fade away. Like it didn't fade away. It wasn't like a weak thing where I was like, oh, Dune's great. It was like, no, I watched it and I'm like, oh yeah, this is like a more sophisticated Star Wars, basically, is a way people describe it, kind of.
That is a good way to put it. It's like
it's a good
way to call it space opera, right? And that's what it really feels like.
Exactly. It's just it's a little more you know, weighty, heady, any of those two words with the E at the end. But it's a Y. Just
definitely
like Paul. Who has no Y in his name.
Paulie. No one calls him
Paulie.
No
there, No one, Harkonnens running around saying, Paulie!
You would think that Momoa or what's his name? Josh Brolin's would call him
that
or something.
Well, I was saying the Harkonnens, which is the other family.
Oh, yes.
So I was saying like the villains being like, Paulie, where you at?
Him, make him like a boy. But
make him like a little bitch. Paulie, what's up?
And he really is. We'll talk about how.
Yeah, we will talk about
it. He's not fit to be like the guy he is. You know what I mean?
Yes, there are some issues that arise.
Yeah.
We'll get into them. But first, we need to know what each other thought about
film. We didn't watch it. We both watched it legally. And guys, it should be out very soon, too. We got a screener.
April 16th. April 16th is when it drops on iTunes. Yep.
Mikey and I got a screener a week ahead, so shout out to who gave it to us.
They send the fiends things sometimes, Mikey. We don't ask for them. They just send them sometimes.
And look, the rest of the world who was reviewing got it like a month ago. We get it a week before. It's all good.
Exactly. We're not as good as them, and we're not, as good as us. So
that's true.
Right.
But we're going to ask each other what we thought, because we literally don't know. Mike, you gotta go first. What did you think of Dune Part 2?
So as we just said, I watched Dune 1 first, like when it first came out. I was like, all right, kind of boring. I don't know, kind of know what's going on. It looks cool, whatever. And then did the rewatch, loved it. I became Dune. And then I was like, do I go see this in theaters? I didn't. And I did not go see it in theaters. And if I did, I would have went to IMAX. You know what I mean? I would have went to IMAX. Because IMAX is the real IMAX. I guess there's two IMAXs.
Yeah,
there's like the fake one, and then there's the real one I just recently learned. So
like Mamaroneck or whatever, or Palisades Mall.
Yeah, there's like,
has
it's
a real
like a size
one.
Different. Like there's like the fake IMAX screens that are like actually smaller than like than the real ones. And I never knew that. I'm a dummy. I never knew that. So
yeah, the real ones wrap. They do more of a wrap around on the screen.
They wrap
the other
up.
Ones are just flat. So that's how you guys can tell.
There you go. Perfect.
Proceed,
so
Mikey.
Anyway, which brings us to Dune 2, which I really was excited for because I just rewatched 84, the Dune Part 1, and then I was like, let's go, Dune 2's coming out. So I watched this movie, and I got to tell you right now, Mikey, I really like this movie. I'm sorry, dude. I really liked it. I have like four major problems with it. Not major, but like they're like the problems that I have with it. But when it ended, I was like, bravo. I wanted to stand up and clap and be like, Denis Villeneuve, you have done it. Whatever it is, he's done it by making this kind of movie that doesn't come out. We don't get these kind of movies, you know? Like, you can't, where's the sci-fi? Like, you get like, what was the one that you watched with Denzel Washington's gay son in it?
Oh, God.
The creator. Like, I never watched that, right? But that's, like, the kind of sci-fi you get where it's, like, tries to be kind of what Dune is a little bit, a little more sophisticated, a little more pretentious, but it's not, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like this one really blew me away, and I regret not going to IMAX and seeing it in IMAX because I can only imagine the experience that those fuckers sitting in seats must have had because... Right. Dude, the dildo would have just, it would have lifted me up, basically. Like, I would have been out of my chair a foot because that's how much I could imagine what it was instead of just watching it on our TV screen. So I did really like it. I'm not saying I loved it. Is the first film better? I don't know. I'm not, I have to digest it. I only watched this 2 days ago, so I still have to digest it because I love a setup. Who doesn't love a good setup, you know? So I kind of like the setup of the first movie where all the mysteries are still there. This one, a lot of the mysteries get answered, and it still kind of ends on a little bit of a cliffhanger, but a lot gets resolved. So they're both equal for me now, so don't kill me, because a lot of people are like, this is way better than the first one. I'm like, it's definitely not way better than the first one, but that's my opinion. I went on a rant, Mikey.
No, it's fine.
And we need to say this, guys. Mikey is just, he's not sad, okay? He's not sad. He's just sick. That's why he's going to be a little bit less enthusiastic tonight. I had to preface that by saying
Thanks, man. I will not be getting hot, so you guys don't have to worry about adjusting your volume knobs. No eardrums will be blown. I will not get loud. If I do, it'll be out of it's pure joy.
Pure joy. Yeah. Mikey, so what did you think of Dune 2? Dune Part 2.
So I am someone who's in the camp of, I personally think, it's probably because I enjoyed it more, but I will say I personally think the second one is better than the first one.
Got it.
I do Dune, really like Dune Part 2, so I'm in your similar boat.
Let's go.
I know you're a little bit more attached to it, and that's all good. That's just how things are sometimes, and I appreciate it. Well, it was you that got me pumped for this. Like, if you didn't have your whole thing a couple weeks ago, Mike, I probably wouldn't even care to have watched this.
Me too. Same with me, dude. Right. Same with me.
So
absolutely.
Your epiphany got me back in there, but I just think that overall, you obviously have a star-studded cast in both. I really, really think Austin Butler was phenomenal, and
you gotta
give him credit for doing a perfect, almost perfect Stellan Skarsgård. Was he trying
to, like, because I had a question because Beast, his name in the movie, what's his name? Right. The wrestler guy, what's his name?
Yeah, David Bautista. But
David Bautista. So he doesn't do that voice, right?
Nope.
But he's also a nephew of the Baron. Correct. So I was like, ooh, like, why does Butler almost sound like his son, you know?
Right.
Where Batista just sounds like Dave Batista, kind of. So I like how they made Butler have the, you know, Baron voice.
Yep.
But I was like, wait, do all Harkonnens talk like that? Like kind of, it was a weird, I got used to it, but it was weird hearing it. I'm like, he's just doing an impression of Skarsgård, you know? And then by the end, he won me over. And I wanted to suck him off, you know? So
he did phenomenal, and it's in the trivia. It was one of the there's a lot of trivia for this movie. There's 60, it's in the trivia that he spent time with the vocal coach to become do the same voice as Stellan Skarsgård. And I honestly, dude, if you close your eyes sometimes, you might go, was that Stellan or was it Austin? Because it's
absolutely
perfect. He's
not known for changing his voice for roles or anything like that. He's very known for having the same voice and not adopting it in his real life after a role or anything like that. So it's kind of crazy that he went to those levels. That's good.
Nope, not at all, man. His Elvis was piss poor if you think about it, but I'm just kidding. He was great. But yeah, dude, nailed it. I'm the same page with you, man. I enjoyed him the most. I enjoyed his on-screen presence. I enjoyed what he was. You just got the sense that this guy does not give a fuck about anything, and he will literally, dude, he slits like his people in his room. He just, oh, let me try this knife out, dead.
Like, yeah, they're like his slaves. Right. Yeah, and then he like eat, like, does he eat their organs? Like, he has this line about like organ, you know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, I want the lungs. And I'm like, is this guy eating people? Like, what is going on?
He said something to the tune of like, not my tribe, but like, my ladies are hungry or something, like feed them to the
And then it showed like the other ladies laying down that were laughing after he slit the throat. Yeah. You're
so
right.
I think he's a man eater, dude.
He's a man. He's a woman eater too. You know, he's a woman eater.
Really at all. He banged that chick, man. He banged that girl off camera she did that just to get pregnant, correct?
Yeah, she did that too with the Jesuits. They were saying, listen, dude, we can't trust this Paul guy. What's going on? Is he alive? Is he dead? We don't fucking know.
Right.
We can't control him. Let's see if we could control this crazy maniac. Right. And then they test him. They're like, well, we can't control him with the sex and the... They say two things, sex and...
was it pain? Not pain. It was sex and...
It was sex and something that like are his weaknesses, basically.
Oh.
So then they learned that they could control him when that chick went to visit him. And then boom, bang. And she made sure it was a daughter. So now they're starting a new bloodline so that they can control that they've been working on these bloodlines for centuries, you know? So basically the same thing that... Well, I'm jumping because something happened in this movie. Well, let's just start at the beginning, though. I have problems with the beginning of this movie, man.
Is it
with
Florence Pugh?
I love Florence Pugh,
but I didn't know if you met her character. What's your big issue?
Well,
in the
her character, but my problem, right, with the beginning, not like the first, you know, 10 minutes, not that. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the burning of the, because in part one, they show the burning of, it's like the same imagery. Denis Villeneuve, he does a lot of the reverse imagery where in the first movie you see this, like burning bodies of the Harkonnens were like burning, the Harkonnens were burning Fremen or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then in this, when this one started, the Atreides family was having all their shit burned, but it was like the same mirror shots. There's a lot of mirrored shots, like when Zendaya is at the end battle, when she turns around, that's the same exact shot as Timothée Chalamet in his vision in the first movie. It's the same exact shot and movement. So there's all these mirroring images from the part one to part two that were done awesomely. So that first beginning stuff was fine. But dude, tell me if you disagree, but the first, like, there was a good 40 minutes or 30 minutes maybe after that, like, first 50 minutes when Paul was kind of, quote-unquote, becoming Fremen and had to kind of learn their ways and this and that, where it took so long for it to go, for the movie to go anywhere else. Like, it almost felt like you were trapped in the desert with them. Like, it didn't expand out anymore. The movie shrunk, I guess is a good way to say it. Into just Paul in the desert with the Fremen and the same lines being repeated and repeated.
So that's kind of my
problem within the first, 50 to an hour, where just that part took a little bit too long for me.
Mikey, it was so repetitive, and a lot of it has to do with the Fremen, obviously the same characters, like Zendaya and then Zendaya's friend, who's like, you don't really think he's the Messiah, blah, blah, blah. And then Javier Bardem, like, dude, I think it might have been 6 or 7 times that he almost said basically said the same thing about him being the one or the Messiah. And it was like, I've heard this 5 times already in the first hour and a half. And then he does it 2 more times towards the end. So I'm with you, man. They were really with Zendaya, Paul, and your boy, like, for a very long time. I'm totally with you.
To the point where, like, it felt like a relief when we got to the Harkonnens and that stage battle with Austin Butler.
Yes.
Like, it was like a relief. I'm like, holy shit. Thank God we're at least... Because in Dune Part 1, there's a lot of bouncing. Like, whether people think this one's better or not, there's bouncing around, and, like, you go to, like, this, you know, the Atreides family and their planet that looks like almost like Scotland. You know, there's water on cliffs and shit. And then you're bouncing to Dune, where it's all deserts. And then you go to the Harkonnens, where it's, you know, industrial and black. And it's so there was a bit more jumping and bouncing in the first hour in the first movie. So this one, I was just like, I get it. Like, I understand what's going on here. You know, they're trying to build up the ending. Like, that's why all that shit, because they're in the first movie and also in 1984 and in the books, the space of time that the events happen in that we have seen in these first two movies mm-hmm. is about 6 years.
What?
Right? In this movie, it's 8 months.
Oh, it's 8 months. Oh, that I know that.
Everything Paul gets thrown out. His whole family dies. Except him and his mom gets thrown out. Becomes a messiah figure for the Fremen, you know, and then his mom becomes the mother Jesuit for the Fremens, and then he leads a rebellion, blowing up spice harvesters, and takes control over, like, there's so much shit happens, and it's 8 months. Like,
dude,
it just,
what?
He sped up the time. Yeah, he sped up the time, man, and I think it's because Paul's sister... who was played brilliantly, Mikey, which in a shot where I go, I saw this shot and I literally thought of you. Like, there's rarely a lot of times where, like, you see something and instantly think of someone. And I like, that came on screen and I thought, I go, Mikey just probably just exploded when,
because
no one knew, right? Like, no one knew,
Mikey,
she was in the movie.
I had no clue. And if you know anything, you obviously do, but you know I would have known.
Anya Taylor-Joy
is in Dune 2. I had no clue.
Dude, Anya Taylor-Joy pops up in a 2-minute scene. Maybe 30 seconds.
Quick. It's so quick.
A 30-second, like, premonition scene as Paul's sister, I don't know, 20 years from now or whatever it is, or 15, however old they're trying to make her. But, I was like, holy shit, that, you know, you got a fucking some sort of property on your hand when you can get Anya Taylor-Joy just to come in for, you know, a day.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, that's crazy. So
what else does she do? Yeah, she was there for literally a day, two max, and like.
Exactly.
Now, they did not, correct me if I'm wrong, they did not start filming anything else. They obviously want to get a script together, but am I correct, Mikey? Is it Dune Messiah? Is that supposed to be the next one? Okay, Messiah.
That's the next book. Yeah, the next book. It's like God Messiah or something like that. We can't read, so we don't read books, and I wish we could.
Yeah,
but
hard.
Yeah, this was a, but I didn't even know it was a planned trilogy. I thought it was part one, part two.
I thought it was part one, part two.
Right?
Okay. Why else are you saying that? And then it wasn't until I watched things after, like, heavy spoilers did a decent breakdown.
Me
and
too.
He was like,
yep, I watched that.
Dune Messiah, and I'm like, oh, what? I was like, I thought this was over, but you obviously can't have a premise where you have the baby sisters going to be like a Paul in the future,
even
and not
stronger
do that.
Than Paul.
There you go. Because, dude, she's talking to the mom as if she's Fort Leno. What's up with that?
This is to wrap up the timeline point that I was saying is that. Mm-hmm. The reason why Dennis, I keep his last name is pronounced Villeneuve, but I for some reason I can't keep saying that, so I'm just gonna say Dennis because it sounds cooler. The reason why Dennis sped up that time thing is because I don't think he want in the books. She's literally a 2 year old with the mind of like an ancient woman Jesuit priest that knows everything and is like the smartest, most cunning person, you know, on the planet. So in 1984, David Lynch's Dune, they aged her up to six. So that's why that takes place around 6 years. So they aged her up to about six. I think it's six, it's five or six or somewhere around there. I don't remember. So she's actually in 1984's Dune, and she kills the Baron, like in the books, where the sister kills the Baron by slitting him with a knife. It's like a, you know, it's a cool little scene. But Dennis said, no, fuck that. I can't have a little girl, like, you know, what are we gonna, we have to age her up to at least six. In the book, she's two. Like, it just does, it doesn't adapt to the screen well, I guess is a good way to say it. So he said, so I thought it was pretty clever to say, wait, let's keep it all as a fetus in the belly. And she gets the power from drinking the water of life, which is the magic blue stuff from the sandworms.
Right.
She gets all those powers when Jessica drinks that. That's why she gets all these crazy powers and is able to talk to her mom telepathically.
And so that's very matter of fact, too, right? It's very your sister said this, and it's like, hold on a second.
and then it's like, did she? So I loved it because I was like, did she? Or is Jessica just saying that? Because
that's a great point.
It's at the end of the first movie, the look on the, like, when Zendaya turns around when they're walking, last mm-hmm. shot, and she turns to Paul and says, like, there's so much more. And then they turn and start walking. The camera zooms in on Jessica's face, and it's this, like, this, like, face of, it's not a happy face. It's not a sad face. It's this weird face, like, that it gave. I remember,
face,
it's just, you'd think it'd be like, oh, they survived. They're going with the Fremen now, and the mom's going to be happy. But it was like a sign of things to come, basically. Like, everything was kind of planned out when they came to making these movies, where it's like, okay, yeah, the last shot of Jessica in the first movie is going to be her with a sort of a manipulative face on her, where we don't know what she's thinking, but wait, she should be happy. Like, she's the mom. Like, what's going on?
You're right.
And then all this stuff comes up in the second one, where she's propping up her son to be this messiah figure when she knows that he's probably not, but the political and social power of having a son who is the prophet, you know, who is the messiah, is unstoppable, and that she can help him get to be the emperor, and this crazy holy war breaks out, you know, in the books. That's kind of what Paul's afraid of starting, is this holy war that kills millions of people.
Is it one of those things, Mikey, where am I wrong? Am I R? Is it supposed to be that the prophet was supposed to always be female, or no? Am I wrong about that?
Well, so the Jesuit, not the Fremen prophecy of the Muad'Dib or whatever it is, that's not supposed to be female.
Okay.
The Jesuits' bloodline, that they are trying to create this, like, basically God figure, that's kind of what they're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to make that female, but that's a different prophecy than... They're planning prophecies all over the galaxy. So it's like you take this group of people, the Fremens, who are, like, lower class, not as smart, no money, no skills, right? Like, they're just this people of the land. They're just of lower status, and you manipulate them with a prophecy to where you can control them by doing a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that's kind of the mom's motives in this movie, is that she's like, no, I'm buying into that Paul is this savior. He will lead the Fremen to freedom and get rid of the Harkonnen so that the Fremen can actually be living in peace on their planet, right?
Right.
That's kind of what it is. But does Jessica think he's really the Messiah? No, I don't think so. I think
probably
she just, it's her son. She just wants the political and social power that she can get by manipulating these people. And she says it in the movie. She's like, we need to start with the, you know, with the ones who don't believe, and da da da. So it's
speak,
like,
to them one on one if you have to.
Yes, exactly.
Convert them one at a time if you need to.
So they gave her a whole lot more to do in this movie, which I like, because she was like, she was great. She was great.
Yeah, you don't have the Oscar Isaac figure. You kind of have her as the, you know, the leader of, you know, I mean, like, Paul obviously looks up to her, but Paul is very, Mike, he's very dominant, you know what I'm trying to say, when he needs to be. He can assert that.
He doesn't start dominant. He starts very passive and like, I just want to be a Fremen. That's all. I don't want to be a leader. I just want to be a Fremen. He's following Javier Bardem, right? Like, that's how he starts. And then by the end of the movie, it's a polar opposite. And I think the slow shit in the desert in the beginning, where they just took a little bit too long, they stayed in the desert for... That they were doing that to earn that ending, to me. I think that's what it was. Or else dunes are just dunes. You know what I mean?
Just like, dunes.
We're just looking at sand dunes over here, you know?
Has anyone looked better wrapped up in the desert more than Anya Taylor-Joy did?
No, she looked... Timothée Chalamet, but I'll give you Anya Taylor-Joy.
I appreciate it. But Mikey, the scene... So you were talking about the IMAX before. And obviously how it must have been crazy. I heard from R-worded
source. Reliable
source. Yeah, okay. R-worded source is the same thing.
Oh, okay.
That... it was on a podcast, Kevin Smith, but someone in the audience out of episode talked about how they saw Dune 2 in 4DX, and they said the sandworm scene made them
bust... When he rides it, you're saying?
Made them bust a nut, and that's got to be insane.
What? Wait, you literally bust a nut?
No, he was figuratively,
but he was saying
it was one of the best uses of 4DX, and this guy goes like all the time. He said it
just
was
made
insane.
Me bust a nut. Oh my god!
Because I haven't done it, guys. Mikey's done 4DX before, but I can only imagine. There was a reel of it last night where it just showed like people in this Miami one, and it was a couple clips of them like during the scene, and it looked absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, I gotta look this up, man.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah. I'll find the reel and send it to you. It was that awesome.
That scene is fantastic, man. And that was one of the scenes where I was like, oh shit, I wish I was in an IMAX to see this scene, because the music swelling up and the visuals, and it was just done so well. And did you watch the breakdown of that scene on YouTube?
No, I gotta watch it.
So he does, you know, with the screen in front, the director's breakdown. It's whoever does that. GQ, whatever the fuck it is.
Ooh,
and he breaks down that scene, and that scene was done all practical, bro.
Right, it's crazy. On the, I don't know exactly what you saw, but I just saw in the trivia that it was on like a 90x50 set or something.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, it was exactly. And they built a sand dune like that, and they had three large trucks that were pulling these large cylinders that would break this big ass hole in the. Obviously, guys, everything's practical except the fucking worm, right? But everything else was done practically, with the stuntman falling. And all the dust and everything gets caught up and you can't see him. But that was a guy falling off a platform and landing on this worm surface that they built. So, like, that's why I like these sorts of movies, and especially Denis Villeneuve, because he's like Christopher Nolan in that sense, where he's like, no, I want to do it real. Like, we're at this location. We're in the desert. We're shooting this here. We're building this. We're not just CGI-ing this, basically. Right. So I love his mix of CGI and practical. And that scene just, Jesus Christ, man. Fantastic.
I brought it back just to watch it, like, again, during when I was viewing it. Just brought it back a little bit. But they, let's be real, guys. What was better, that or the fucking bomb in Oppenheimer? You just brought up Nolan. It's like, what are we talking about?
Break, right?
This is a visual. This better win. This better win visual for next year, because it deserves it. It has to. It absolutely has to. What was I going to say about? So that scene, and I love how in such a hectic scene that Danny, as I'm going to call him, like you, because I was about to fuck up his name, took his time on such a simple shot, but it was so effective of Paul, or whoever the stunt person was, with their right leg trying to get balance on it, and then it finally does like 10 seconds later.
He explains that in the video.
Oh, he does? Oh, yeah. I gotta watch this, dude.
He's like, I wanted to portray that Paul has never done this before and is having a hard time accomplishing this, that he doesn't just jump on the worm and he's good to go, you know? So that's funny you said that, because literally GQ video or whatever, he says that, so.
Oh, I'm watching this ASAP tonight. I just thought it was very effective, and it made you go, oh, he got it. And, like, they didn't cut away. They didn't cut to his fucking face. They just said, oh, here's the knee. And then the music
rose. He talks about that exact shot, Mikey. He says that, you're talking about when the knee goes up?
Yep.
He goes, this is one of my favorite shots in the movie, because I wanted to make it feel like, you know, this is a big moment. So I want the music to swell. I want the audience to feel it, that this is a moment for the Fremen and for, Paul? Fuck, I forgot. No one calls him Paul. I forgot his, name, whatever the fuck it's called.
I know, it's fucking
remember it, but anyway, he explains that that's one of his favorite shots in the movie, and that was like totally mapped out and particular and on purpose. Like, and it gives you a feeling of like triumph, and it was just, that scene was directed so well and shot so great. I loved it, man. I loved it. And then Zendaya's face, like when he's up on the worm. Like, she gives such a good facial thing after he stands up on the worm, relief and happiness. It was one of the greatest scenes in the movie.
Dude, I was getting, you know how sometimes like they would just kind of cut to them traveling and they have like a clan of people just on the back. While they're riding it, like the mom did it the mom was on it once, or then Javier Bardem and his people. And I'm going, now maybe again, I'm not a worm expert, I'm not a dune expert. I'm going, what if this motherfucker just goes down for like a minute?
So I have the answer to that.
Okay, what is it?
So in the book, they use those hooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, the sandworms, obviously, they swim. Basically, the way I think about it is like the sand is water. That's basically what I look at it for the worms, right? Like that, like that's it. It's like they're swimming in the ocean, basically. But in the book, they use those hooks, and the hooks latch on to like the flaps or scales on the worm. And when those hooks lift up that flap slightly on the worm, sand gets into that flap and it irritates the worm. So the worm will stay above ground because the sand going into that irritates them. So that's how they control the worm and they're able to turn it. You know what I mean? And
yeah, for sure.
So in the movie, he's like, I like that idea, but in the movie I wanted to do it a little different where they lifted up those flaps, but that those flaps, this is, and again, in that video, I'm all getting this off from that video, he says that, I wanted to do it more like that's where they're breathing from, basically, and that when you lift it up, they're getting some sand in there, basically, but it's basically the same effect, that it's something annoying them, so they just kind of comply and go along with the rider, you know, basically.
It's,
so
yeah, it's like holding like a cat or like a kitten by their neck. You just kind of have control.
You're just
over
controlling it. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Because I'm like, well, how the fuck do they get off? I can't remember if they show it, but it's like,
no,
it's
they
be
never
hectic,
dude,
as fuck.
Great point. They never show someone get off a worm. You're right.
Yeah, they never do. And I'm like, how? You have like 100 people back there. Someone's gonna die, or someone's gonna be like,
Well, I was like, are all these people like hooked in? Like, what are we doing here?
I know, like, how are they just, yeah, because you have to, you look at the people riding it and they're they're kind of struggling. It's like surfing, and these
fuck
people are just,
yeah, dude.
Oh, I'm lounging, I'm taking a little nap on the back of the little hamper thing or whatever. But really well done. I'm glad that we talked about that scene, because how could
so
you not,
yeah. No, sorry to interrupt. No, guys. we're remote here, so it's a little, it's tough, it's tricky.
Yeah, sorry.
With interrupting, I feel bad interrupting. I just want to get so badly to the Harkonnens. So I just, because they're to
please.
Me, there wasn't enough of them in the movie. Like, I want more Baron. I want more, what's his name?
Awesome Butler.
Raid? Yeah, what's his name?
Oh,
Raid?
Yeah, I think so.
I think
it's
Fade? What the fuck's
his
name?
Oh, yeah. It's Fade Rautha. So Fade. F-E-Y-D.
Yeah, Fade Rautha. Dude, like, I, listen, maybe some people will say there was the right amount of them in the movie. Mm. I wish there was more of the Harkonnens in this movie. Because in the first movie, dude, how did they portray the Harkonnens? Dude, military geniuses, badasses. They're like, no one's fucking with them. Like, they are militant. They are, they're obviously brutal and monstrous, right?
Yeah.
Like,
fucking
obviously,
nuts.
But they have a squad of soldiers, and they are great, right? Like, military supremacy. And then in this movie, they just, like, get taken out within a couple months. Like, it's just kind of, it doesn't feel like, Austin Butler gives you the impression that they're strong and that they're, but it's like just him. Like, he's this badass, crazy guy. But all it takes to wipe out the Harkonnens is blowing up a couple spice fucking things and then killing Austin Butler and the Baron. Like, it just, their decisions to me did not make sense. Like, why is the Baron even on Arrakis Dune towards the end? Like, don't even go there. You know what I'm saying?
Point? Why?
Why? Why are you there?
Right.
Like, you know that Paul's a lot. You know that your life is going to be at risk. Leave Dune. So, There's things that maybe in the book explain it. I don't know.
Yeah,
but there
true.
Are certain motivations and actions that I was like, ooh, I don't know if this, like, military-wise, why would they send Austin Butler? He's a warrior. Like, why are they sending Austin Butler to be the, you know, governor, the governing Arrakis, to be the head of the planet, right? Like, what the fuck does he know about spice harvesting and all that? There's little details like that I'm sure are in the book, but they're hard to overlook in the movie. It's more like you just experience the movie and try not to think about certain things like that, right?
Well, you know what they did, Mikey? They topsy-turvied fucking...
They did a fucking topsy-turvy, motherfucker, Larry?
They did a topsy-turvy, motherfucker, because they... You're right, because you're supposed to believe that the Harkonnens are ready for anything, and it's almost like they are, like, obviously, you know, Timothy Chalamet explains in Dune 2 that, oh, I know more about strategies and stuff like that, and that's how they can kind of topsy-turvy them. But I'm with you. I would have liked to seen more. You could have got away with this being 60% about the Harkonnens in this movie.
Yeah, or make it 50-50 at least.
50-50,
yeah, make it half and half, man. But you just made a great point, dude. In the books, Timothy Chalamet teaches the Fremen his ways, modern ways of fighting, right? Modern warfare. In the movie, nothing.
No, they breeze right through
all of a sudden, the Fremen are just ill warriors. And they're good fighters regardless, right? But to be able to take on the Harkonnens is a little, it's a little outlandish if you don't show it to us. So all that stuff in the desert of Paul, like, being accepted as a Fremen, it should have been right. a little bit of a back and forth, a little bit of, like, him teaching them, them teaching him, him teaching them, them teaching him. A little bit more of showing the effect of Paul on the Fremen, because in the book, he has way more of an effect on them than in these movies.
Look, it's like Roadhouse. They just don't show the person teaching the ways.
Yes.
And like, so those guys, are cool scenes.
You heard it here first. Roadhouse is better than Dune Part 2. You heard it here first.
All right, Jake Gilley or Chalamet? Of course, Jake Gilley, you're going to want to bang him. Well, actually, I don't know. What would you pick?
Timothy or Jakey?
Jake, yeah.
I'm taking Timothy, dude. He's a little more feminine for my taste.
He's a little more slender. I get it. Jake's just a fucking monster now.
Yeah,
I
don't like the rough and tumblers. I don't want that.
I get it. Oh, Mikey, here's a good one for you. And I'll answer two. Timothy Chalamet or Austin Butler in the movies.
Ooh. Austin Butler is hairless. I like that.
So is Timothy. Oh, no, you're right. But Austin's even more hairless.
Austin
Butler,
dude, they don't have eyebrows, dude.
No, you're right. And they definitely didn't shave his head, because you can tell his head was a little round. He definitely...
That was my question. Yeah, I didn't 100%. Know. Wait, do you know this for a fact or you're guessing?
No, I don't, but I know that the agent's like, there's no way we're cutting Austin's hair. There's just no way. 100%.
I thought he like got dedicated and was like, I'm shaving my head for this.
Nah, he even said this was the least amount of him going method that he's ever done, because he didn't want to be in fade all the time. He goes, it's not going to be good for my friends and family.
God, yeah, because he does go nuts a little bit. He goes nuts. You're right.
And,
he goes nuts
a
little bit.
You can't do Stellan Skarsgård all day.
Yeah, that voice is hard on your throat too.
It's so good, man. I can't believe how great he was. Yeah, I know.
It's wild,
but no,
man.
I just thought he had.
But I'd rather bang Timothy Chalamet. I'm just gonna say it right now, Timothy Chalamet. Just get the sand out of his butt, and we're with you.
Dude, they all fucking stink.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, there's so much it's like no one ever takes a shit. That's what I mean. It's like it's like. What are they eating? Like, you never show anyone eating. It's like these movies are very, like, sophisticated and not, you know, gritty and real. And it's just, it almost just, like, transports you to this world. Don't think about it too much. Get the main things down to where you can understand. Because if you don't do any homework, you're fucking lost, dude.
And that's how I was.
All you are is like, wait, okay, they think he's, like, some messiah. Okay, I kind of get that. But, like, he doesn't want to be a messiah. He doesn't. But then at the end, all of a sudden, he's like, fuck it. I'm going to jump fully into transforming myself into this messiah. Mm-hmm. Why did he make that change? Like, there's a lot of things there's a lot of questions. So you got to do fucking homework, man.
I have a question about Spice, and I couldn't find an answer. They kind of answered it in two. Maybe you know. I don't understand, and two, Timothy's eating some of the food, and he's like, oh, wow, there's spice in it, and the girl's like, what's the matter, you know, and then she's like, oh, you look better, prettier with blue. So correct me if I'm wrong, the sand itself in the desert is not spice, am I correct?
No, the sand, so the spice, from what I know, and guys, I am no Dune expert here at all, so everything I said could be 85% wrong, I'm just saying what I kind of learned, that the sandworms are integral to spice. So that's why the water of life thing comes from the worms. So everything on Arrakis/Dune, same planet, that comes from the worms and the sand and the mixture of that. So that's why on top of the sand, you see like that like spice over the top of the sand. Like there's even a shot where they like cut away and someone says something about like, oh, the spice are... you know, spice is out tonight. It's not that line, but it's something like that. And then they show like crystallizing on top of the sand. So the sand is not spice.
Okay. But
there's spice inside the sand.
Okay. And that's how you harvest it. That's what those big machines that are shaking the ground and then pulling it up. Kinda.
Let's get to this, dude. One of the best scenes in the movie was the spice harvester attack, right?
Oh, dude, so good.
I mean, so well choreographed and so well done. And Zendaya with the bazooka and just... the way they did it, fantastic, right?
Oh,
fantastic.
So good.
But in the first one, they really show you that, okay, here's a spice harvester, make a lot of noise, right? Mm-hmm. It attracts sandworms, okay? And what happens when Oscar Isaacs, Paul, and Josh Brolin go out to see it for the first time in that little helicopter thing? a sandworm comes.
It gets fucked, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, that makes sense, right? And this one, they're just fucking sand harvesting and having battles. And I'm like, where are the worms at?
All right, because did they even put out any distractor thumpers? I can't remember. But even that wouldn't matter, though. The thumpers are going to be overtaken by this 5 billion ton fucking machine. You're very right. Yeah. The they're just running on the ground, Mikey. They're running on the ground underneath the wings. I'm like, I feel like tremors. I'd be like, I'm going to get fucked soon.
Yeah, and I do know, and they do say in the movie where, like, remember when Timothy Chalamet's trying to get the worm and he's pounding on it and some of it's not hollow, some of it is, right? So there are parts of the sand where maybe doesn't attract the worms, but these giant machines, I'm like in the first one, it gets swallowed up within a second, and you're like, oh, this makes sense.
There's a rush. You know? There's a ticking clock.
Yes, yeah. And they say it. They're like, spice harvesting is one of the most dangerous things in the galaxy to do.
And dude, in the first one, you're right. When the balloon pops or it doesn't work, you're like, oh, yeah. Fuck,
when that hand doesn't catch the thing, it's crazy.
Yep, that's what it was. So, the hand. Yeah.
So they don't. In this one, they kind of ignore that for like these, you know, little set pieces of when they go and attack it, and then when they're just and how, like, how did the Fremen get this? Like, they didn't have it in the first movie.
No.
How did the Fremen get this technology? Get these guns? Get these? Right, whatever they're using, these mines that come up, and like, how did they get? None of that is explained at all.
Yeah, they didn't show them like getting it from when they defeated any Harkonnens, right?
Because
we would have stuck out like a sore thumb. So yeah, you're right. They're just fucking desert people. So of course,
where'd they get all this?
They're not going to have tech.
No, where? That's a great point. Exactly. Tech. I'm an idiot.
You're right,
yeah,
you're right.
Exactly. Where'd all the tech come from?
Yeah.
They just don't explain that. And I guess, again, motherfucker. I guess that's a thing where there's just so much stuff in the books that, like, you have to make sacrifices to tell, you know, because, and listen, you know me, bro. I'm not a big show, but I've been low key.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big show guy, but I will say that Dune would make a great miniseries.
Oh,
I know they
agree.
Did a miniseries, like Sci-Fi Channel did a miniseries in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Who was in that? There was some dude
so
who was...
I never watched it, but some people have been using it in YouTube videos that, you know, are saying differences and shit. But Dune would make a great miniseries. Like, if you just do, like, 10 episodes or something like that, that would be just to flesh out some more stuff, basically. I just think that...
I agree.
Because even though this movie is kind of slow-paced, which both Dune movies are kind of slow-paced, things are rushed. It's so weird. It's like the movies feels kind of slow, but it's worth it. But also, things... are just brushed past and sped through. Like, so I've never really seen a movie like that where, like, it's kind of slow, but the events are rushed. It's weird.
That's why it feels like, again, I don't think I've ever been to one, but that's where the term space opera, like, this trumps Star Wars when you hear, because they used to use that to describe Star Wars.
Space opera, absolutely.
And you're going, oh, no, this is definitely, because things are drawn out. There's a lot going on without a lot going on.
Well, that leads me into my third note where I wrote down, and I'm like, you know, I forgot how long I was into the movie, and it looks, Mikey, it looks so beautiful.
Oh,
right?
Lord.
It looks so beautiful. You got fucking worms that are awesome. You got cool battles. You got great costume design, great sound design, great directing, great acting. Like, everything is there, man, right? But it lacks two things for me, right? Up until the ending. The ending, I'll give it to them. The ending hammered home, when he yells at the previous Jesuit mom, right, the head one,
silence,
dude,
so
like,
good.
Oh my god, I got chills because they
Me
do
too.
That in 1984, and I'm like, if they don't do it in this one, I'm gonna flip the fuck out.
And then, Mikey, is that the lady from the first one who does the test?
That
with him? Okay,
him.
All right,
yep.
got it.
That's exactly,
dude.
Yep. My note is when he yells silence at the lady who tested him in the first film. Just to remember to say it on the podcast because.
Great.
It's so good, man. Like, then, but all that's earned, right? Like, from the pacing, the slow pacing of the movie and the slow build of it, that, like, that's earned when he says that. So, but anyway, the two words that I think the movie lacks for me, man, is drama and emotion. There's no drama and emotion in this movie for me. Like, think of a Game of Thrones you know, Lord of the Rings, where they're, like, political, kind of sci-fi-y, not Lord of the Rings, but, like, you know, just there's more drama, there's more emotion, there's more stuff mm-hmm. going on.
True.
In this movie, there's just not, like, where's the conflict
mm-hmm.
in the first half of this movie? Like, there's no conflict.
No, no, not really.
It's
no.
all inner stuff of, like, oh, does Timothée Chalamet mm-hmm. wanna be this messiah?
Mm-hmm.
Does the mom's gonna be a little manipulative? Okay, whatever, that's not that dramatic, right? It's like, it's right. all these grand themes mm-hmm. that don't hit the mini human themes of mm-hmm. the emotion and drama that you need, like, every 15 minutes of a movie. Like, you need drama. There were so right. many scenes where I'm like, well, this is just, like, it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
fun to watch all this stuff, but it's the drama and emotion is not, it's sparse, I guess, throughout the movie is what it you is. Know? Like, it doesn't feel tight. It's not a tight movie, you know?
Not like Chalamet, but it's not, you know, it's a good point. There's not, they do it more in the first one, where you have people that you start to care about, like Momoa, and you go, oh my God, there actually is a threat of him dying. Someone that you care about.
Yes.
Right?
You yes.
don't Mikey, who really dies in this, in Dune 2?
Well, no one really dies. And also, when Josh Brolin got reunited with Timothée Chalamet, I didn't feel anything. I was Mikey, like, okay. Neither. They're kind of back together. I thought I was going to, like, I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
They're like, I didn't feel, it wasn't, I don't know, man. Like, the big moments you feel, but the little moment, there's no, like, little moments that make you feel. And there's no, like, you know, it's supposed to be this, like, political, like, the books are very Game of Thronesy, where this family's plotting against that family, and who's talking to the emperor, and who's doing bloodlines. And there's a lot of shit in the books that is Game of Thronesy, where people are backstabbing. And this movie just didn't have a lot of it, you know?
No,
it just
right.
didn't. It misses that stuff when you're, like, condensing this material into, you know, 2.5 hours or whatever it was. So
very good point. Where's the plots? Where is the backstabbing? Where is the talk of deceit? It's
exactly.
not there. It's a very
it's
good
like,
point.
It's like over the whole movie, they're there. Like, where the mom's manipulating the Fremen, and she's manipulating Paul, and Paul does make, like, they're the big, like, it happens over the course of the movie, but not during the movie. It's
right,
hard to explain.
Right.
I don't know.
No. You're right, though. It's hard to put into words. It rides that cusp. So that's why it's tough, because, like, it'll do a little satisfaction, but then it doesn't. And then it'll tickle you a little bit, and then it's not. So I'm with you on that, man. You're very, very true. That's very true. If you even just had a couple ounces of the drama I guess the word is drama. Like, if you had from got couple first seasons,
first 3 seasons, exactly. Just a little bit.
Oh, 100%. But you're right. It's all just, here's the next thing. Here's what Paul's doing. He's possibly going to be the Messiah. The Baron wants to fucking take over everything.
Well, that's why this one, like, is more about, it's totally different than the first movie is about that kind of Game of Thronesy thing about a family versus other families, you know, this house versus that house, and taking on, conspiring with the emperor and all this other shit. Then this movie's about religious zealousy, and, you know, the guy who wrote it even said, like, he wrote these books as a warning of religious fanaticism and what happens if we prop up, you know, a leader, you know, a religious leader, religious figure that much. What are the dangers in that? What are the dangers in fundamentalism? So, like, Paul's not the, like, Jesus religious figure that we all, like, that some people might think he is. He's the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, I get that. And it's like, are they going to, and look, I think there's spoilers ahead for 3 that I kind of listen to.
I don't
want to
know, but okay.
Well, let me ask you, though. I know you said you watched Heavy Spoilers. Did you stop when he said,
is Heavy Spoilers the guy with the dog?
No, that's
I just watched. I watched the guy with the dog.
Well, I'm glad I brought it up then, because I heard some things about Messiah, and that's only because I'm not the biggest Dune person. I go,
of course,
I
and you don't care that much.
Yeah. And I'm like, if I hear some things, whatever. I'm glad
I
brought that up, though.
I know in the books, Paul and Zendaya, like, they stay together. He marries the Empress, right, and he becomes Emperor. Mikey, are you doing something? Because it's killing my ear. It's fine, but
sorry,
I just
moved
gotta,
the phone. I'm good, though.
No, I just got to take the headphone off.
I
don't hear you, sorry.
No, I got good? You.
Okay,
sorry.
That Zendaya, and they have a son in the book, and the son gets killed by the Harkonnens, by Baron Harkonnen.
Whoa.
That even raises the stakes of Paul going back and killing the Baron and killing, you know, Austin Butler. Like, so all that is just out. Like, that, like, that's just gone. What? So, well, yeah, the Baron's dead. The Harkonnens are basically destroyed. It's crazy.
I guess you just couldn't do that in two, though.
Like, exactly. It's like, well, they would have had to. That's the whole thing about the timeline, instead of six years, eight months.
That would have added some great drama.
Imagine, dude. And I think what you said before about, like, the Game of Thrones-ness of it and stuff, it would have been better. Like I was saying, the first film was much more about that, and there's more, if you know what's going on, that's all I'm saying. The first time I watched it, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, and I'm there's no drama in this movie. I don't fucking know what's going on.
No clue.
But if you know what's going on, there's so much drama in that first movie, like so much. There's so many little mini moments of drama. I love it. In this one, if they cut back and forth, then you get that drama. You get the buildup to it. Instead, it's just like act one, desert. Act two starts with the Harkonnens, and then we act three meshes the beginning of the Holy War and Paul becoming this Messiah figure. Like it's more of a grander movie than the first is, I guess. So
totally agree with that.
If they cut back and forth more, I think it would have made these little moments hit harder, I guess, is a good way to say it.
That's what God did. That's why you were glued, because you go, oh my God, I forgot about this house. And then they go right back, and you're like, oh, wait a second, but we just saw them plotting this, and oh, shit, what's going to happen?
Exactly.
You don't get you don't really get what's going to happen.
No.
okay, sure, what's going to happen at the end between, you know, it's brewing for Austin Butler versus Chalamet. But aside from that.
Do you know who played Austin Butler in the first one? Side note.
Oh, you mean in the original 1984?
Yeah, in 1984, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think I saw that. Who was it?
Dude, you never seen like a meme or something with Sting in the Speedo?
Oh, Sting, that's supposed to be Sting's character.
Yeah, he's wearing like a Speedo. Yeah, it's hilarious, man.
Oh, no.
It's like so not like just what they did with this movie is like what you're supposed to do. And then David Lynch has disowned that movie, so I'm not blaming him. Still, it's hilarious. Sting in a Speedo fighting Kyle, whatever his name is, at the end of 1984. It's just like so
Kyle
bad.
Garner.
Imagine if it was Kyle Garner. That'd be great. I think Kyle Garner would have made a good Paul, dude.
Mikey, sign me up for that movie. I think he would have been great.
Because I think Timothy Chalamet, let's talk about this real quick, okay? He makes such a change, bro. He drinks the water of life, and dies, okay? And then Zendaya has to get a tear and put it in the water, and then he becomes back from the dead, right? And then Javier Bardem, I laughed out loud probably five times at Javier Bardem in this movie. Did you laugh at like a lot of lines that he was saying?
Dude, 100%. It's the prophecy.
Yeah, and then he's like, he's so humbled, he won't even admit he's the prophet. That's exactly what the Messiah would do. You know, like there's so many funny, he was just a great, funny, I would like, that's the only little bit of comedy in this movie is from Javier Bardem, and I loved it. But
no, I'm with you.
He makes a change. Why did he flip? Because before, when he's talking to Zendaya for the first half of the movie, he's like, nope, I am not trying to lead the Fremen. I'm just trying to help you guys get free and beat the Harkonnens. I'm not your Messiah. Right. I'm not this. Me and you, we're in love, da da da. Her line of, we'll always be together as long as you stay who you are. Like, what makes him flip, dude? Like what makes, because then, dude, the last hour of the movie, he's a fucking madman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a nut, and it's all off due the cliff. To that. It's all due to just swallowing the water, but like,
Wait, so that's what you think? You think it's him just from swallowing the water? Like, that's what it is?
I mean, I guess. I don't really have a good answer. What do you think?
I think, because some people say that it's, when he some people say fucks for some other reason. I forgot what it was. Not because of the water, but I think to me, this is just my personal, what I got from the movie is that the moment he finds out that he's Harkonnen, that's it.
Dude.
He flips the fuck out. He flips the fuck out. And Well, there you go.
I literally forgot.
No
right
one's
now.
Mentioned
like,
it in videos. No one like talks about that part of the movie, and I'm like,
really?
That's such a big deal. Like,
huge.
Him learning that the arch enemy family of your family for the hundreds and hundreds of years, you and your mom are actually Harkonnen. The only ones out of the whole fucking Atreides family, you guys are half Harkonnen. Like, that to me was the over the ledge part of that made right. him go over the ledge, right?
That's to me, definitely it. That's definitely yeah. it, over the water, 110%.
Yes. To me, that was... I forgot what other people were saying was the reason he changed. I forgot. No. Fuck, I can't remember.
But was it... did the mom... did she know? Am I stupid? Did the mom always know that? Or the mom didn't know that?
No. The mom says it. She goes, I didn't know until I drank the water of life, she says. Yes.
Yeah. Right, because you she get the lineage. You get the lineage. Right.
Yep. Yeah, she had no idea.
Mikey, that's 100% the reason why. Yeah, that's such a huge, you know, your entire everything is now
your existence
different.
Gets your questioned. Existence you're like, right. dude, what? Like, this is fucking nuts, man. So I think that has a lot to do. Because, Mikey, I just found myself not buying Timothée Chalamet making such a turn when right before he was like, no, I'm not the Messiah. Don't worry, Zendaya. We're good. Messiah Zendaya.
Yeah, good one.
Don't worry. We're all good. Da, da, da. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's a warlord. You know, I just, it was hard for me to buy. But then I'm like, you know what? No, like he found out he's half Arconian and his life's all fucked up. And so now he's just like, screw it. I am after power. Like, I am just going to. I want to be the emperor, you know, and that's kind of how it goes. And we'll get to the ending here because we're an hour in.
Sure. They don't resemble Harkonnen though. What's up with that?
What do you mean resemble Harkonnen?
They're all just bald, pale fucks.
Yeah, but that could be I don't know if that's by choice. You know what I'm saying? I have no idea. True. I have no idea if that's a cultural thing or if it's a racial thing. I have no idea.
Wait, Mikey, before the ending, what'd you think of the black and white scene, the stadium scene?
Dude, it technically it's not black and white.
What is it?
Yeah, I forgot what the term is but it's not like they just shot that in black and white. They shot it with a certain, I forgot what it is, but I thought it was just black and white. But
it was that thing to make their skin look translucent. Yes, it was like infrared something, but I think it was whatever they used
for it. It's not just like a jet. It's not just like they put black and white over it. It's like they changed the sun. Like they changed the color of the sun to make it look like it's crazy. So, but I loved
really
it.
Cool.
It gave the planet such a great thing.
The fireworks were fucking ill.
Dude, the fireworks were fucking cool.
You've never seen before. It was like liquid that dissipates in the air.
That's what I see in my eyes, dude. Like, that's what I see in my eyes. Think about that. Yep.
All right, never mind. I take it back.
No. I'm just saying, like, that's like the best way that I saw it. I'm like, oh my God, there you go. I can tell someone, hey, you ever see Dune 2? If you ever want to ask me, that's what I get in my eyes sometimes. It's crazy.
Squid Games, dude. It's Squid Game in your eyes.
Exactly. Squid. Yep. Ink. All right, there you go.
Sorry. Ending. Yes.
But the ending, but before we get to the ending, so Christopher Walken. And the Emperor and Florence Pugh, the daughter, are so, they're in, like, five scenes, and it's just, like, they had to include them because they're part of the story, but it's, like, they were, like, nothing to the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it felt
they were,
like, out of place, nothing. For sure.
And, dude, I'm sorry, man. Mikey, I apologize.
Let's hear it.
Christopher Walken was the worst casting choice ever.
I agree.
You can't put Christopher Walken in this movie. He's just Christopher Walken.
Yeah, there was an outcry, and I'll see if I can find it really quick, for people who they recommended, because apparently, I think it's Shottam or something like that. His name is Shottam or something.
Yeah, he's supposed to be young.
Yeah, he's supposed to be young.
He looks 35. He's supposed to look 35, but he's really like 80. Yeah.
Right, and there was all these people. There's like a list of seven actors where you go, they all are guys who like are in their 50s, but they look like 35, you know? That would have been great.
Yeah, if you get like, Chris Hemsworth's like too big. You need a lower name. Maybe like a James McAvoy. Maybe him.
Ooh. Oh, dude, McAvoy would have been great.
Right? Maybe him as like an emperor. He could be like a wise emperor. You know what I mean?
Great pick, dude.
He's enough to where he can like, because Christopher Walken, Mikey, he's just too, he's too disrupt. Like, I just look at it, I go, he took me right out of the movie every time he was on screen.
It's like, you might as well put Richard Lewis in there. It's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I was watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm last night, Mikey.
Oh, no.
Mikey, he doesn't move. Every scene starts with him sitting down, though.
They have
not showed him stand up or sit down or walk.
Which, are you on, did you watch the finale or not yet?
No, I have the finale left.
All right, got it.
But
yeah, you're right. No, it's very
rare.
They
never
that
show
you see
him walk into a scene. Nope. The scenes always start and he's sitting down.
Good
it's
point.
Insane to me. I'm in like, wow, eyes, he was so sick.
Dude, he's literally like when you see someone in their casket at their. Yeah, you just go, oh, that's just a guy who's like, he's dead, but his eyes are open.
It literally reminds me of my grandfather, I think 2017 when he passed away, but like, that's like the look. Yes. You know what I'm saying? It's the look. And yep. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Yeah, no wonder why he's not walking into a restaurant like he always does. Like,
he couldn't
just start the scene, he's sitting down. That's right. It. Every scene. Every scene.
He just could not. I agree.
Sorry, Mommy. That was a side note, guys. If you curb enthusiasm, there you go.
Right.
But yeah,
right,
let's get
right.
to the ending, man. So Florence Pugh and the Pugh. They lead this great battle. I love the battle, right? Battle was fun.
Sure. Battle.
The battle was fun. The sandworms were riding and they're just, you know.
Sick. It was dope.
It was great. And the big aerial shot of them coming in. It was cool, you know. That was cool.
Sick.
And Josh Brolin is very upset, Michael. He's very upset. That Beast, I always forget his name.
I know.
Army of the Dead.
Dave Bautista.
Yeah. He's very upset with Dave Bautista, Michael.
He needs revenge.
In the books, though, he killed his whole family.
Oh, wow.
Dave Bautista killed Josh Brolin's whole family.
Oh, that's motivation.
I know. And then
come on.
In this one, first of all, I don't know how the fuck they find each other when there's 500,000 people, you know, with sandworms.
You want to talk about how do you know who you're killing? That was rough. At least for me, everybody was muted and my colors are terrible anyway. But I would kill five people by accident.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. But anyway, somehow Josh Brolin walks right up steps and finds, you know, Dave Bautista.
Right.
But dude, did you like the line he delivered or what? What'd you think of that?
What he said for my emperor. Oh.
He goes, this is for my king. This is for my king and my friends.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
It was horrible.
The friends is weird.
And my friends? That sounds like it's 2024. Like,
guys, this is 20,000 years in the future, right? Like,
old timey. Like, it's like, it's the year 10,000 something, but it feels like it's 1500, you know? So, like, it was just like, this is for my king and my friends. So dumb.
You know, it's way better for my king and my people. Better.
I said, I go, why didn't you just say, and for my people? Like, literally.
My friends, you're right. Sounds gay. Not in a cool way.
Or family. Or say, this is for my king and my family. Friends. Like the, you know, Atreides family or whatever. So.
Yeah, that's lame.
It was a bad line that ruined a good moment, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
I agree.
The ending was shot beautifully. Yeah.
Oh,
Paul,
phenomenal.
They go in there and the Baron gets killed by Paul, which is great. It's a good change, right?
Totally.
Because
there's
no little girl.
The sister, right?
There's no sister. So what are we going to do? We're going to make Paul do it. And I love how he's just like, grandfather. Like, I think loved how he had to say something to him, you know? Like,
That's what Rise of Skywalker wanted that they couldn't do this.
Yes.
Right? Because it was the
absolutely.
Same thing. It's the same, you know, whatever, is the Emperor's or grandfather. No, that was terrible. This is how you do it.
This was it. This was, wow. Like, but when I learned that piece of information, Mikey, halfway through, I was like, what?
Dude, my jaw dropped.
That's insane. That's like finding out you're black. You're like, what the fuck, dude?
You're like, now I can say the N-word?
Yeah, it's great. No, I'm just kidding, guys.
No,
I'm
we don't
kidding.
Say that.
I would, if someone told me I'm black, I'd be fucking happy as shit. I wouldn't like my dad, but, you know. No, I'm kidding.
Or your mom, for that matter.
Well, I got to find out. Well, no, I know I came from my mom. You know what I mean?
It's a good point. Oh, that's a good point.
It's the only thing.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Anyway, kills the Baron, duel. And Austin Butler doesn't give a fuck, and now he's the head of the Harkonnens, and the Emperor Christopher Walken's just, like, standing there like a fucking,
so out of place.
Yeah, it's just, like, so out of place. He looks like he's 95 years old just sitting there, like, and Florence Pugh is just sitting there with her dumb fucking blades over her eyes. And
dude,
like,
she looked like the girl from Neverending Story.
Mikey, I hate you. I just rewatched Neverending Story last night. I just rewatched
it. Right?
I haven't watched a movie in like 15 years, dude.
Like,
yeah,
I haven't watched since I was probably like 12.
Crazy.
Seriously.
But I like that last, like when they came in, I thought there was going to be like a little bit of a fight with the king, with the emperor's army in there.
They
just didn't do anything, basically. The guys with the swords, remember? They were just pointing and they just didn't do anything.
No,
I guess they just
shit.
Knew that they were overpowered, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess so.
right?
But the blade scene, I mean, it was a really good hand-to-hand combat.
Oh my God.
Between Austin and your boy Timothy. Phenomenal. Well, you know, in Mirror. No music. Well, the open with Josh Brolin and him?
No, the ending fight of part one.
Right.
With that's the black guy versus Timothy Chalamet.
Which that's like the first 20 minutes of this movie. They're still talking about that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, they're carrying his body. Of course, man. Yeah. Right, and that's where they go to the thing. And that's where this director kind of gets lost sometimes, where he focuses on like that moment, like these little moments. He like stretches out a little, like when they find the nukes, right? And like they say the nuke line, and usually they can just kind of cut, and then they have they're right in front opening the door to get the nukes. There you go. In this one, they like jump behind a rock. They look through it through binoculars. Then someone says some sort of line. Then they make another. Like it's like he stretches out moments that don't need to be stretched out sometimes.
Right.
So
I agree.
It's just it's not a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination.
It's putting too much emphasis on like the wrong thing sometimes.
Sometimes, exactly. Yeah, like for all that's right, there are things that are wrong with it, basically.
Right.
But like you said, the ending where they and Timothy Chalamet does the same thing with the blade that the black guy does in the first one, where he's
so
like,
cool.
I hope thy blade breaks and chips in pieces or whatever. Mm-hmm. So good, man.
No
and
music
it also
either.
Mirrors.
No score.
Yeah, and the sunset in the background, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
But it also mirrors, like you said, the Josh Brolin one.
Mm-hmm.
But it mirrors, like when they're training in the first movie, it mirrors when he says, he's like, I would have took you with me. Look down. And he looks down, and Josh Brolin's got the knife Timothy Chalamet's stomach.
Great
and
call.
That's literally how Timothy Chalamet wins, you know?
Great
so it's like
call.
All these mirroring, I loved it. Like, I loved it because, you know, if you just rewatch the first movie, then it's like this should be one big movie, I guess, is a good way to say it.
I can totally see that, and I totally agree.
If this was one, like, four-hour movie, I think it might have been better. I think it might have just been, like, more, you know, but they would never do that. But,
no,
I mean,
no.
It just, I don't know. I just, you could literally start the second one right after the first one, and it's, like, seamless, you know?
It's
seamless, man.
No, literally, they're carrying the body of the guy from number
yes,
one. And you're like,
exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
exactly.
It's like, we're picking up. Mikey, when I started two, I thought for a minute it was one because of the mirroring. I go, great, I'm an idiot. But then I realized that, oh, no, this is the second one.
Is it? Yep, there you go.
I know we skipped past the intro, but I love hearing people talk in that. You know
oh,
what I mean? Like,
dude.
So good.
Dude, that came in before the Warner Brothers logo.
Yes, and then it went to the classic the
it
newer
was insane
Warner
to
Bros.
Me.
That was so
like,
wild.
I heard the thing and the quote comes up and then I'm like, oh, okay.
And then boom.
Then the
WB.
Warner Brothers logo hits. I go, wow, that's fucking cool. Like you never see movies do that ever.
It sucks you in, man. It makes you go, oh, Dune 2.
I'm doing Dune, dude.
Dune.
So,
he dies the way that you would think. He has, like, a smile on his face, basically.
And he says, you fought well, whatever. You know, like, he gives him his flowers.
He
Austin
gets
Butler.
It, dude. And look, that's how you're supposed to die, on the battlefield and honorably. So, good for
and
you,
and if
Austin.
You kill your mom, then, you know, you're going to die by the hand of a hot twink. That's just what's going to happen to you.
It's a
you
great
know?
Point, dude. It's a really good point.
And the movie ends with Timothy Chalamet, basically, I guess he's just power hungry now.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's just like, fuck Zendaya. Like, because in the books, it's not like this guy's in the books.
Mm.
Zendaya and him, like, agree to, like, that they're going to be together. Mm. But he's going to marry the Empress to be the Emperor, basically. Oh. So, you know, like, it's just, Zendaya is a way more, like, passive character in the books. But in this one, they made a change to give her a lot more to do, which I kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, she just is she's her own character, basically. She's not just like prop.
I respected her more in this one. Like, I actually was on the Zendaya bandwagon.
Of course.
For two.
She actually had shit to do. She was a character. She wasn't just like, she was bringing Timothy Chalamet back down to earth a lot, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
then
very true.
At the end, when Timothy Chalamet's like, and then I'll ask for your hand in marriage, and then I'll be the emperor. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, I know. Like, what?
He's just like asking, like, why does he want this power now? Like,
I just couldn't
buy it. And I have to just be like, okay, I guess he's a Harkonian. He's mad at that. He drank the water of life, and now he's da-da-da-da-da. Okay, fine. You have to buy it. But he makes such a switch, man.
Yeah, he does it. There's a lot of topsy-turvying in this movie.
Fucking topsy-turvy in Richard Lewis, Larry David, and fucking Leon, dude.
Dude, there was so much of it. You're right. But, you know, look, you just got to go along with the story. You know, I'm sure in 4 years there'll be the next Dune.
Is that how long long it was? No, it was 3 years, right? 3 years.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Was it Dune 2021?
But they had everything in line, right? And, like, COVID fucked it up and all that. But, like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, what I read was, like, the script's not even
You could
written.
Read? Wait, hold on. You no, learn how to read?
No, I do the audio thing.
You gotta teach.
Audio to you. It does it in, like, Snoop Dogg's voice or whatever.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And, like, yeah, the script's not even written. And, like, obviously, if anyone's going to direct it, it's you have to keep it with the guy who's at the helm because he's doing a phenomenal job.
Villeneuve's directing the shit out of the third one, dude.
No
Absolutely.
Question. And Anya's going to be, got to be a central character, right? Like, has to be.
Well, see, I don't think so because then you have to age everyone up, like, 20 years. Right?
Oh, yeah, duh, like, because you if have she's to age 20, everyone.
She, they, Mikey, she's a fetus right now.
Oh, maybe they get new actor. Well, no, they wouldn't do that. They're too
no,
big.
No, they wouldn't. I think she's going to be in Premonitions, like she was in this one. In one All scene, right. I think that's what they might do, is okay.
That's fine.
She's, like, there's a baby, maybe, yeah. Right?
And then it's, like, it cuts to her, and it's, like, really
yeah,
her
in the future,
talking
to Paul, like, because I just, you can't get away with fucking having Timothy Chalamet and Anya Taylor-Joy talking to each other. You just can't do it.
Either you recast, which they wouldn't do,
they would
or
never
you just
do
don't
that.
Do it.
Yep.
Nope, you
never
can't do it.
That.
They're too hot. Everyone's too hot right
too
now.
Too hot. Everyone's way too hot. It's a hot movie. This is one of the hottest movies I've ever seen, man.
I agree.
Ever seen. Yeah.
Austin Butler's Roundhead.
Hot Roundhead. I still can't say I like it better than the first one. Mm-hmm. I like them equally. I think I like them equally. That's me and I love the setup of everything when you don't know what's going to happen because I haven't read the book, so I didn't know what was going to happen.
Nor would I ever. You couldn't pay me to read
those. I can't read, so I don't have a choice about that. But
I wouldn't even do the audiobook. That'd be insane. Probably like 4 days long.
I think
Fuck
there's
that.
Six books in total, and they're doing the first three here. And Messiah is the last. That's the last. And then it gets crazy at one point. There's a worm. There's a half worm, half human guy who like runs Dune or something. Yeah, it gets wild, dude.
It
gets wild. But that's like the sixth book or some shit like that. Yeah.
I downloaded it. It was the writer's name. That's why I picked up my phone before. So I apologize
Frank
for
Herbert?
The scratch.
Did I just nail
that? Yeah, you got it.
I think I just
nailed
that.
There's like an hour 20 YouTube video on him explaining the origins of Dune. And I was like, oh, I'll listen to this now. Now that I watch both, I'll check out what he wants to say about
it. Oh, absolutely. In a couple of the videos I watched, they played clips from his interviews back in like the 80s or 90s or whatever it was. And he just says like what I said before about the religious. He wrote this as like a warning about religious figures and propping them up too much and giving people too much power like that. And I'm like, this is great. I love this guy's message. So Timothy Chalamet like is not the one. He's not the Messiah. He's not Neo. He's not Jesus.
Right, right.
He's not the Savior, right? And that's what the story's about is that power leads to corruption, right?
Right.
And the corruptible lead to power. So it's a warning tale. Was done by a great director, acted by great people, and the ending was epic. It was an epic ending that leaves you resolved, filled up, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like filled to the max,
filled up.
But also a little bit on edge for what's going to happen next, right? Like a little bit of like, oh, now, okay, what's like, I still want to know. It's just the perfect ending to leave you wanting more, but also fully satisfied.
Would you say you felt the same way when the first one ended the second time, not the first time that you felt?
No, this ending was way better.
The ending's better, but I the second viewing, I remember going, "Oh, that's right. I want to see them ride worms." Like was my.
Oh no, for sure. Yeah. See, I didn't care about the worm riding, but okay, I like it. I like that you cared about. A lot of people love the worm riding. That's
people love
that's
the
great.
Worms, dude. But Zendaya, it ended great with her. She's gonna take all her problems out by riding another worm.
Yeah, she's gonna go ride a worm, and who knows? And
who
there's
knows
gonna
what
be.
Happens.
I just, yeah, I don't know. Well, it's gonna be interesting to see, and I'm just glad that like. They made these movies and that they're making money and that there's going to be more. There's going to be another one. Like just, but then let's just end it at three. Let's just keep it a trilogy.
Know.
You know what I mean?
Just let's pump the brakes. We understand things come in threes. It's fine. Do the Messiah one and then just have an ending. And then 8 years later, you can go, all right, we're doing the new trilogy of Dune. Cause we have a young crop of fans and it's going to, bring in the oldies who are basically going to die soon, and then the newbies who want to suck Chalamet and bang Zendaya.
Yeah, and when I watched the first movie, I didn't know that there was – or no, sorry. When I was I thought everything was wrapping up by this movie.
Oh, me too, 100%.
So when it ended, I'm like, whoa, okay. Yeah. If it ended like that, Mikey,
yeah,
everything's wrapped up for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Chalamet becomes the emperor, marries Florence Pugh, Zendaya goes off on her own. Who knows what happens? You can create it in your own head, but like, it's an ending. Like, if they never made another Dune movie, this is a good part one and part two.
For sure. I'm on board with it, dude.
Like, everybody's like, oh, it's like Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, it ended. Like, it didn't end on a big cliffhanger like Empire Strikes Back does.
Right. Nope, I agree. And dude, I didn't know, and I think we both already said it before, I didn't know that there was going to be another one until watching breakdown videos. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. It would have been fine, dude. I would have been fine.
Sorry, I had to scream. I had to do it one time. Sorry.
If I would have put, if these two were just Dune part one, part two, and that's it, I'm satisfied. I'm
exactly.
Good.
That's my point.
I don't need anything else.
You can think of it all in your head, what's Zendaya going to do, whatever, but it all kind of wraps up there, you know?
Yeah.
So
you have an idea. You have an idea of the future by the end of it. I agree.
And speaking of wrapping up, we wrap up with scores, don't we?
Yeah, we got to do it. I'm going to go first, right?
You will go first, dude. You're Dune Part 1. So Dune Part 1, Michael, what is your score for Dune Part 2?
Oh, yeah, sure. Dune Part 2, I'm going to give this an
8.2. 8.2? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 8.2. What about
2,
you, man?
Right. I'm going to give it a 9, flat.
Ooh.
I'm going to get a flat 9.
I get it.
Just get that hammer out, get that number out, and just flatten that 9 out, and 90% of Rotten Tomatoes, that should be, probably is 100. I haven't even checked Rotten Tomatoes.
I haven't checked either.
Fucking 100, yeah.
Austin Butler, take his hammer out. You can do a lot of things with his hammer, probably.
Christopher Walken.
Ugh.
I wanted him to die so bad so that he just wouldn't be in the next movie, because I'm like, just stop with this emperor. Like, just, whoever fucking casted that, they did stellar Skarsgård at every other, like, no one is miscast in the entire movie.
I agree.
And then just this one little gay feather pops up, and it's Christopher Walken. Like, it's like, did you think you need Christopher Walken to sell tickets? Like, what are you doing?
This is actually one of the worst castings I've seen in recent memory. You do not need him, like, and he doesn't add anything to it.
Exactly. Is it just like a favor? Like, I don't know. I don't understand. I will have to talk to the casting agent of, like, why. It's like casting Bill Murray. It's like casting Murray to be the emperor. It's the same
100%.
Thing.
100%. I totally agree. Same bracket, thing. Same ballpark, and it's not good.
That's it. All right. Well, that was our Dune 2 review.
Dune Part 2.
And we will be back with Dune Part 3 in about 4 years, like Mikey said.
I said 6, but you never know.
Oh, you said 6. Okay. Well, we'll do 5. We'll split the difference. Okay.
Drink the water.
All right. Well, that's it, guys. As always, thanks. Oh, sorry. Thanks for tuning in, right?
As always.
No, that's not it. Oh, no, guys, we're all fucked up here. Sorry.
Thanks for.
Oh, come on. Worm riding.
Dude, hell yeah.
By the watch. Uno more time.
As always.
He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. We're going to be back next time, not with Dune Part 3.
I agree.